Let's go back to the book of Hebrews and find out why we would sing of Jesus having been raised and of Jesus being at the right hand of the Father, why this is good news for us. Let's look again at Hebrews chapter 1 as we read verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. As we continue our looking at these verses at why Jesus is supreme, why the Son is supreme. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, or the world, or the universe, all things. And He is the radiance of His glory, and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, speaking of His death, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, speaking of His resurrection. Having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at these verses yet again, as we continue to dive in and explore, may our hearts and minds be lifted up to You. May we be in continual awe, or perhaps a refreshed awe of what You have done in reclaiming Your people. Father, I'm humbled when I think of the work of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, but I'm also excited and encouraged and given great assurance when we see that the death on the cross was not all, but even now, Lord Jesus, You are at the right hand. What does that mean for us today, Lord? Teach us, show us, encourage us, comfort Your people. Lord, give a revigorating into our spirits as Your Holy Spirit attends the reading and the teaching of Your Holy Word. I pray, Father, that this morning, as we spend time in Your Word, Father, we would all be rejoicing to know that our Savior, our Jesus, is indeed now at the right hand of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you would, be seated. If you've not been with us, let me sort of try to catch you up a little bit in terms of where we are in the book of Hebrews. We've just started a number of weeks ago. This is perhaps the fifth sermon in the series on Hebrews. It is the fourth on answering the question why the Son is supreme. And if you look there in verse 1 and verse 2, we saw that the Son is the final spoken word of God's saving grace for humanity. Whereas God had spoken in the past regarding the Messiah who was to come, Jesus spoke as the one who was going to deliver His people. He was the final word, no more looking for other Messiahs or a Messiah. He is the Messiah that they could take great encouragement and forgiveness of sins and be able to hide themselves in from the wrath of God. Jesus is the final word regarding God the Father's salvation. And we see that this Jesus is appointed heir of all things, for He has made all things. And He goes on to say that He upholds all things. We see the power of Jesus Christ over all His creation. We see also that Jesus, not only being all-powerful, we see Him described as the very radiance of the Father's glory. We've taken some time to look at how Jesus is indeed God. Not just a man adopted to be a messenger of God, but actually God, very God, coming into the flesh, having descended. Perhaps you could write down Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. We looked at that a great bit in connection with these verses in Hebrews. We see that He is the representation, the exact representation of His nature. All that God the Father is, existent, eternal in the past, so has been the Son. All powerful, so is the Son. The Father is all knowing, so is the Son. The Father able to be in all places, so is the Son. All that the Father is, the Son is also. However, the Father has developed the plan of our salvation. In Acts, we're told that Christ has come according to the predestined plan of the Father. Jesus, the Son, has been the one to carry out the plan of redemption. And we see that He has made purification of sins by His death on the cross. But today, there is good news. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. How many dead men sit? They don't. So for Him to go through the purification of sins and died, and then to sit means that something happened, and that something that has happened has been the enlivening of Christ again after 3 days in the grave. And this is the confession of all those who are truly born again, that Jesus physically was raised from the dead, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that will be our focus for us today. This phrase, when He had made purification of sins, today's focus, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we're just going to sort of take this phrase a bit by bit. And so this morning, as you're looking in your message notes, we're seeing the phrase, He sat down. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus sat down? And I want to give you four significances of the meaning He sat down. One we looked at last week. First, His sitting down as the high priest speaks to the finality of His work as the high priest. The finality of His work as high priest. In the temple and in the tabernacle, where there were the previous sacrifices for sin, there was no resting bench. There was no lazy boy recliner to catch your breath. When the priests were doing their work in the temple, when the priests were doing their work in the tabernacle, there was no sitting down. There was continual sacrifices. Never was there a moment of rest. But Jesus, when He offered Himself, declared, "It is finished," the work of the penalty, the payment of penalty for our sins, the sacrifice, His shedding of blood, the final and pure sacrifice of Himself, that work is completed. And so He was able, as our high priest, to sit down. The work of redemption, atonement, sacrifice, all completed. Nothing else to be added. He sat down. Job completed. The finality of the work of Christ. It also speaks to the authority of Christ. He sat down, was not asked to sit down, but rather He sat down on His own accord. He has authority to sit at the right hand of the Father. 1 Peter 3, verse 22, speaking of Jesus, says, "Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, and after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to Him." When He sits down at the right hand of the Father, there is authority that is given to Him. There is an equalness as well, an equality that speaks of Jesus. For all the other servants of the Godhead do not sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. They're busy doing their work for the Godhead. But Jesus, the Son, sits down as the Father's equal in His presence. To sit next to the King implies, sit next to the Father implies equality. And Jesus Himself spoke of this while He was alive in Luke 22, verse 69. This is just one phrase. This is used again in Mark and again in Matthew. But in Luke 22, 69, Jesus says, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And they knew that what He was saying in their minds was blasphemy, because they knew that when He was saying He would sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high, He was taking on Himself the claim of divinity. And so we see that this phrase that Jesus sat down speaks to the finality of Jesus' work. There's nothing left to do. He sits down and rests. And we, in faith in Christ, rest in Him. He sits down by His own authority, sitting again at the right hand of the Father from whence He came to perform the work of the sacrificial lamb. He is equal to the Father in all things, and He is restored in glory. And so we see that His sitting down, finality, authority, equality, and glory. Jesus looked forward to this, that last night that He prayed in the garden, there in John 17, verses 4 and 5, "I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Jesus sits down, having accomplished everything for our salvation. Jesus sits down, nothing left to do in terms of redemption and sacrifice. He is still our priest, and we'll look in just a moment that he still makes intercession for us as our high priest. But in regards to redemption, regarding our sinfulness, all the work has been completed, and he sits down at the right hand of the Father with authority, as divine, and basking in the glory which was his beforehand. Our Jesus sits down next to the Father in that brilliance which no human eye can fully comprehend on this side of the Jordan. Underneath that emerald rainbow and over the glassy crystal sea, our Jesus reigns. And he is not serving as a slave any longer. He is basking in the glory that is due him as the Son. Jesus has now sat down. But then, what else does it say? It says that he sat down, but where particularly? At the right hand of the Majesty on high. I want us to look at now this phrase. What does it mean that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father? I must confess that somebody yesterday pointed out to me, you notice, Pastor Ken, that in verses 1 through 4, there's not any commands? Well, what do you think is the purpose of that, perhaps? To focus not on what you are to do, but what Christ has done. And for you simply to revel in Christ. For you simply to revel in who He is. To give praise again, all over again, for who He is. Keep that in mind as we're moving through this, because some of you are kind of wired like me. And so you take this and you're going to want to say, okay, and now what? What are my 4 ABCD? What am I supposed to do? Here it is. Be in awe. Worship. Think upon Him. Go home. Say, wow, what a Savior. Meditate upon Him. What does it mean then that He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high? Well, this week I would encourage you to follow behind me, because I'm not going to give you every description of the right hand in Scripture. I'm going to share with you 6 descriptions of what is true of the right hand of God and how they're fulfilled in Christ and how they're beneficial to us. But go through the Scriptures and mark out what is said about the right hand of God. And this morning I want to share with you 6 descriptions of the right hand. This phrase, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It's just that word majesty is just a Hebraic way of saying of God Himself. He sat down at the right hand. Well, first, the right hand is the position of blessing. The position of blessing. Over in Genesis chapter 48, we are told that blessings come from God's right hand. So through the Lord Jesus, as He sits at the right hand, the blessings of God come. In fact, we are told, Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Why? Because Christ at His right hand is the source of every blessing for us. Psalm 16:11. The psalmist says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." And Jesus, having moved to the right hand of the Father, is able to bless His people. He is able to bless all those who have been given to Him. And in Acts 2:32-33, one of the blessings that come from Jesus being exalted to the right hand of the Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit. "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this, which you both see and hear." Speaking of the events of Pentecost. The right hand of God is a position of blessings. Everyone who comes to Christ, therefore, experiences the blessing of God, the blessing of His Holy Spirit, the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of strength to say no to sin, the blessing to be able to be empowered to flee from the devil, the blessing of assurance of the salvation, the rescuing of our souls. All those who come through Christ receive blessing from the Father as Christ is at His right hand. So when He sits at the right hand, He sits in a position of blessing. But He also sits in a position of power. Exodus 15:6. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Mark 14:62, that parallel passage of Luke earlier. Jesus said, I am. Taking on the name of God, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. We've seen in this passage in Hebrews that He is powerful to create. He is powerful to receive. He is powerful to uphold all things by the word of His power. Psalm 18:35 says, You have also given me the shield of Your salvation, and Your right hand upholds me, and Your gentleness makes me great. Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, upholds all things by the power of His word. What else does it mean that Jesus is at the right hand? Well, He's in the position of blessing. He's in the position of power. He's also in the position of refuge. The position of refuge. Psalm 17:7. Wondrously show Your loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at Your right hand from those who rise up against them. Those who are to be found in Christ Jesus also find refuge from the judgment to come, from the wrath of the Father upon all those who sin. You and I are not simply saved from our sins. If I were to ask you, what are you saved from? The answer is not my sins. You are saved from the wrath of God, which is due for your sins. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we read this, that we wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us. He is our refuge from the wrath to come. All who hide themselves in Christ, all who place their faith in Christ, all who believe that the work of Christ on the cross is indeed needed for themselves, find refuge, find shelter, find rescue from the wrath to come. So the right hand of the Father is a position of blessing and power, of refuge and close to refuge, a position of salvation and of deliverance. Psalm 60, verse 5. Your beloved may be delivered, save with Your right hand and answer us. Acts 4:12 tells us that there is salvation in no one else. As Jesus is at the right hand of the Father now, the means by which He rescues and saves, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This is why Simeon, as he receives the Lord Jesus, who is now, even now, at the right hand of the Father, Simeon says, and with faith, my eyes have seen Your salvation. A light into the world, not just for Jews, but even unto the Gentiles as well, Gentiles like you and me, that we who believe are saved, are rescued from our sinfulness. It's not only a position of blessing and power and refuge or salvation or deliverance, perhaps you might want to use that word. It is also a position of righteousness. A position of righteousness. Psalm 48, verse 10. As is Your name, O God, so is Your praise to the end of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, is the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Philippians 1:11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, says Paul to the Corinthians, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus at the right hand of the Father is the righteousness of God. And as we come through Him to the Father, we receive the righteousness. We become the righteousness of Christ, and which is the righteousness of God. And Jesus, as He sits at the right hand of the Father, sits not only in a position of blessing and power and refuge and salvation and righteousness, He sits in a position of victory as well. Psalm 98, verse 1, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him." Who do we have victory except through the Lord Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father? 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Speaking of grave, speaking of the death of death, speaking of sin and the power that it has to inflict death upon us, we have victory through Christ, who has been raised to the right hand of the Father. In Him we have victory over sin. In Him we have victory over death. 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith," speaking in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus comes and He sits down at the right hand of the majesty of God, do not simply think, well, this is about the resurrection and end there. There's a reason why the author of Hebrews is writing the way that he is to this Jewish audience, reminding them that he's gone to the right hand, so that when he says the right hand, their mind, which is full of the Old Testament scriptures, are just overflowing with references of the right hand and who this Jesus is, and why should they go to any other? For He is the one through whom the blessings of God come. He is the one through whom the salvation of God comes. He is the one that they might find refuge. He is the one that they might find victory in their times of difficulty and trial. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Oh, to be found on the right hand of the Father. For you know the Scriptures perhaps speak of a time when there will be a dividing of those to the right and those to the left. Those to the right identified with Christ and given eternal life, and those to the left not, and must experience eternal death. Oh, to be found on the right hand of God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here today, and you're perhaps struggling with a sense of a consciousness of guilt, and you're wanting someone to take that away, I cannot take that away for you. Your parent cannot take that away for you. A child cannot take that away from you. But Jesus can. That working of guilt upon your consciousness is an act of God's mercy to make you aware of your sinfulness and a need for someone to come and rescue you from the wrath to come. That sense of guilt has been given to your consciousness so that you might cry out to God, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," and receive Jesus as the one who has paid all things for you, that you might be reconciled to the Father. Today, be found on the right hand of God the Father. To be found where His eternal pleasures dwell. To be found where His blessings, His joy, His care, His comfort are made sure in Christ Jesus. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let's look at that for just a moment. Because Jesus is to be found in the Majesty on high, because He is not in the grave, but He is indeed at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is with God, for He is God. Because Jesus is to be found in the Majesty on high, there is good news for all those who believe in Him. There is good news for all those who believe in Him. This morning, let me share with you four applications. We might be able to peel apart many more, but this morning, perhaps from my end, let me share with you four applications of why it is good that Jesus is indeed sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. First, now He makes intercession. Jesus, even now, at the right hand of the Father, makes intercession for those who are His. Jesus is not inactive on the part of His believers. This is good news. Even now, you have an advocate before the Father. He is mine. She is mine. Even now, making intercession for us, says Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Dear believer, be encouraged. Christ's eyes are never off of you, except that they are on you to intercede on your behalf, that the Father will continue to make you and mold you more and more into His precious image. The Son is at the right hand, not inactive as a priest, but continuing on His priestly role in interceding for those who are His. Did you have a bad week this week? Can I challenge you just a little? Imagine if Christ wasn't praying for you, how bad it would be still. Christ has been praying for you this week. Be encouraged. Not only can we be encouraged as Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He has, as it were, without belittling the majestic language here, He has the Father's ear, and praying on our behalf, we now have access because of Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father. This would be the second application. We have access. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2 real quick. If you can look at that. Ephesians 2, looking at verse 18. For through Him, we both have our access, Jews and Gentiles, for through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Even now we have our access. Yes, we have our access ultimately to the Father. John 14:6, which I made reference to earlier. Anyone who wishes to come to the Father must come through Christ. Yes, we have our ultimate access to the Father, but even right now, we have access through the Spirit to the Father. Over here in Ephesians 3, just maybe the next page over, in verse 18. Listen to me, not 18. 21. That's not right either. Hold on. Okay, there we go. In whom Christ Jesus, sorry about that, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident or sure access through faith in Him. Yes, Jesus is praying on our behalf, but we ourselves can go and pray and talk and rejoice and praise and give thanks and also ask for or beseech our Heavenly Father. Over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, a much loved passage. Because over here in Hebrews 4, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So we hold on to what we believe, knowing that Jesus is even now at the right hand of the Father. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, because He is indeed a high priest sympathetic with us, but who has passed through the heavens, even now with the Father, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not approach the throne of judgment. We approach a throne of grace and mercy. And as often as we come through Christ, we have ready access to the Father, through the Son, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. We have access 24/7. Let us make use of that access to the Godhead. Shame on me, though. I won't speak for any of you. Shame on me. How little I use the access that has been purchased to me by Christ. We have access. As Jesus is interceding on our behalf, we also come by Him, through Him, and we lay our joys and our petitions, those prayers for ourselves. We lay our thanksgivings. We lay our intercession, those prayers for others. And we can be encouraged that as the Son has the Father's ear, we who are in the Son also have the Father's ear. He is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And thirdly, let us perhaps not overlook that where He is, we shall be also. Where He is, we shall be also. Jesus did he not give us this promise in John 14, 2 and 3? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place. We have either sung or will be singing of that. Jesus is now preparing a place while He is gone before us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of the themes of Hebrews is that Jesus is the forerunner, that He goes on into heaven before us, and we shall be with Him. He is the firstborn of all creation, not only in terms of His priority and His place of prestige and responsibility over all His creation, but He is the firstborn from the dead to go and be with the Father. And we too shall be with Him. Where He is, we shall be with Him as well. This is good news. As our Lord and Savior has ascended and been raised forevermore to the hand or the presence of the Father, we too, who believe, shall be with Him. This is good news. Let us not forget this. Do not forget perhaps that those who are needing to hear this letter and were teetering on whether to remain with Christ or not, perhaps needed to hear, yes, it is only through Christ that we ourselves shall come to the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, and then the fourth one, which I will endeavor to say, we shall expend all the remaining years on earth trying to figure out exactly all that this means. But not only is it that where He is, we shall be also, but where He is, we are. Where He is, we are. Go back over to Ephesians. And notice a couple of verses here. Those of you who are ready to say that the Christianity is just predictable and, you know, in a box, I'm going to ask you then to fully explain some things for me out of these verses. Ephesians 1, verse 20. I don't really know how to just jump in here, but I'm going to. But Ephesians 1, verse 20. The strength of Christ's might, which He brought about, or God the Father's might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Now look over in Ephesians 2 for just a moment. And in verse 6. Well, actually, let's go to verse 4. This is a great lead-in. But God... Let's just go back at the one. I'm sorry. Indulge me a little bit. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, notice that verse 3, left to ourselves, left with the rest of humanity, who are we? Children of wrath. But God, someone outside of us, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, And notice this, verse 6, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Now, what the Bible is telling us is that while I have my feet on terra firma, well, this would be maybe for terra firma, the earth, I am also seated with Christ in the heavenly places. What does that mean? And then to say, you know, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, but did not Christ also say that if we loved Him and obeyed His commands, He and the Father would come and make their dwelling place within us? I want us to at least begin to wrap our heads around this concept of here we are on this earth and yet we are with the Son seated. And the Bible also talked about the Godhead on his throne and yet dwelling within us. I want you to see the integrated unity of the believer with the Godhead. That for the believer, there's never a place where he or she will go that the Godhead is not also. That whatever I'm doing in the earth, I need to realize that I am also, in a sense, doing right at the right hand of Jesus who sees it on high. This begins to impact, therefore, the way that I live my life. Because I'm not just going to simply live it in earthly terms. I'm also living it with a mind that how am I acting as I'm seated at the right hand of the Son? So that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, does not only become this encouragement that indeed one day I shall be with Christ, it is also perhaps assuringly stern, comforting warning that I'm joined with Christ as I believe in Him. And that I am not to act simply worldly, but otherworldly with Him. Even as I am seated with Him and even as He resides in me. Colossians 3:1 perhaps would summarize what I'm trying to say much better than my human words. Colossians 3:1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Look this afternoon again. Just go back home and look at just the compiling of phrase after phrase after phrase after phrase that the writer of Hebrews gives to us as those who believe in Christ. Be in awe of this Jesus who has been given to us. Be in awe of this one who humbled himself and came down to become in the form of a servant. But not just some ghostly form, but an actual form with flesh and bones and blood, and that he gave himself for us that our sins may be purified, that we, where he is, we may be with him forever as well. And in some supernatural, mysterious sense, we already are. No wonder the writer of Hebrews would go on to say, this Son, having become as much better than the angels. And because we'll look at this in two more weeks. That the angels in this, the Judaism of this day, angelology, the worship of angels was starting to creep in and become a bigger thing than even the worship of God himself. The focus was off of God and on the angels. And so having become as much better than the angels, really, when you read the book of Hebrews, he makes the argument he's better than Moses. He's better than Melchizedek. He's better than Abraham. He's better than the angels. He is God, and this is why He's better. So this afternoon, perhaps, take some time. I'm not ignorant. I'm not supposing that all of you are going to go home, and from 1 o'clock until 9 o'clock, you're going to be reading these verses and over and meditating. Although that would not be a bad thing. But maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour, as an individual, as a family, as a couple, revisit these verses and just use them as the fodder of your praise and the wonderment that the Father should do all these things through His Son. And that we would be counted His because of the work of His Son. And then rejoice, for this Son is our prophet, verse 1 and 2, our priest in verse 3, and our King who sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Our Father, I pray in some sense that You would help us to see that this Jesus is not someone to play around with. That this Jesus is not to be treated like some form of get out of jail free card that one day will pull out. Somehow excuse our sinful living now. I pray, Father, that we would not allow Jesus to be someone whom we met years ago and whom we somewhat look forward to seeing years to come, but in these days simply ignore. I do pray that in our hearts we would feel Him to be the brother that sticks, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that we would feel Him to be the friend of sinners, of which we are each the worst in our own hearts. But Lord, please keep us from treating Jesus as simply our bud. Help us to see our Jesus as high and lifted up at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Indeed, bestowed at Your right hand with blessing and power of safety, of refuge, of kindness, of mercy, of victory. And may we see Him willing to give all these blessings to all who come to Him. And may we, every moment, have our arms, so to speak, outstretched to Him. This is the Savior I need. This is the Savior I have. This is the Savior I love and that I desire more of. This is also my King. The one I adore. The one I exalt. And the one I obey. Give us all hearts to lift up and exalt and rejoice in our Savior, whom You have given to us, that we will be able to come to You. O Father, what a great wonder, what a great Savior, what a great blessing to be called Your children. Thank You. Thank You. For Your Son, who has become our Savior, and who even now sits interceding that we not lose any of the seeds of Your Word that has been planted, who is even now interceding that we would love with more of our heart and more with our mind and more with our strength, more of our soul. This Jesus who sits at the right hand, upholding us forevermore, never losing His grip of grace upon us. This Son who invites us to come before the throne of grace and mercy and just bless You with our joys
and trust you with our cares. We rejoice in our prophet, priest, and king. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, let us